Doesn't matter who you are, this is your moment. Every person in here, this life is your moment, and we get to choose how we want to live that moment. We have a choice if we want to limit as people who live without Christ, who live with limits, who live with no hope for a future, no hope of anything beyond what they can do, or we live as people with the understanding that the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is living in me, and that Christ is in me, and the limitless God is inside of me, and I'm going to take this limited moment of my life, and I'm going to live it limitless. I'm going to live with less limits. This is a year where I'm going to limit God less. I'm going to limit in my finances less. I'm going to limit in my time less. I'm going to limit in my energy less. That I'm going to be unlimited, without limits, no limits. That I'm going to step beyond. Amen. See, the world lives to maximize a moment. You know, I'm a type of person. You may have come in here, and this is the question you'd ask yourself in this question. How do we maximize this moment, our moment? How do we maximize it? And I'm someone who would probably be the one that wants to maximize every moment when I go on vacation. If I were to go on vacation today, in fact, I'm doing this in the fall. We're going on vacation, and we already planned it, so I'll minister here. And as soon as I'm done with the service, I'm getting on a plane to go right away on vacation. Right? Because I got to get every minute of vacation. How many know what I'm talking about, right? You're that way. Or maybe it's the holidays. You got to get, like, you just came through the Christmas holiday. How many still have a Christmas tree up? Right? You haven't taken, you want to listen to every Christmas song. You want to watch every Christmas movie. You want to eat every Christmas cookie. How many are still eating some Christmas cookies? Yeah. And when they're done, you go on your diet, right? Maybe it's going to Costco. I like to maximize Costco. You know, you don't just go there for stuff. They do samples. I don't know about you, but I love samples. I know there's some in here you do too. I mean, we should do a small group at Costco. It's going to start at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Because that's a fact. You get the maximum amount of samples at 1 o'clock on a Saturday. So I've told my wife, I said, you want to go have lunch? She said, yeah, where do you want to go? Costco. It's just great variety, right? There's also, maybe it's pumping gas. How many are like this when you go to pump gas? Like you wait until it clicks off and then you go click it again and you click it again and you click it again and click it again until someone told me you can click it all you want. That gas isn't actually filling your tank any fuller. I'm like, but it's going somewhere. Because it ain't coming out of my car. It's got to be somewhere in there. I checked. It's not leaking anywhere. So I just keep clicking and clicking. I can get another gallon and a half in my car if I do that, right? Or maybe it's the Big Gulp. How many know this? How many go get a Big Gulp? You get like the biggest cup there, and then you fill it up, and then the foam is like that much, and you wait for the foam to go down, and you're like, bump. How many cup bumpers in here? Bump, bump, bump. And there's like a line behind you. You don't care, man. I'm getting my soda. I'm maximizing my gulp. Bump, 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 right? Bump, 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 right? You maximize everything in your life, and you want the most that you can get out of it. But what if we started living life like with the limitless mentality? Because we want to maximize to a limit or go to a limit, but what if there's something more than going to a limit? What if there's no limit? What if there's no line? What if there's no end? What if we could get beyond our limit? What if we could go further and do more? What if this is a season, and this year I believe the Lord really told me that this is a season that I want my bride to live beyond the natural limits of this world. I want them to do extraordinary things. It's interesting, a few years ago, we had a number of years ago, about 10, 12 years ago, we had a prophet that came to Michigan, and this guy was an 85-year-old man who was dead on. I mean, the guy was incredibly dead on with words that he would give, and God used him in prophetic word a lot. And my wife and I were sitting there, and as we were sitting there, listening to him, he said, I got this prophetic word for you guys I want to tell you about. And the word was, you will be driving in your car, and there'll be a moment where you're going to die, and God will translate you from that moment to a moment of safety. Now, how many say that's limitless? Because there ain't any ability in ourselves. So about 5 years ago, Heather and I and the girls are in our truck. We have our boat on the back. We're going to Michigan on vacation, on our lake vacation that we take every summer. And we're driving to Wisconsin. And on our way, we're on a country road, two lanes, country road. And there's a 1980-something van, like Dodge van, right in front of us, about ready to fall apart. It was all rusted out right in front of us. And we're clipping about 65 miles an hour. That boat's 500 pounds, and then my family's weight in this truck. And we're going 65 miles an hour down a country road. As we're driving down the road, there's this boy, the best way I can describe it, with a stick. He starts waving his stick in the air. And in that moment, I noticed, I thought, that's strange, the kid's waving his stick in the air. It's pretty dangerous to be on the side of the road. Well, in that moment, the minivan in front of us hits the brakes. Like I don't know if they didn't realize. I had a boat on the back. There's no stopping. So I got three options. I hit this boy and kill him. I rear end this van and hope for the best, or I go around on the left-hand side. So obviously I go on the left-hand side, and right there is a semi-truck coming right at us. And I realize in that moment, we're in trouble. And if you know what I'm talking about, that moment when you realize that I have no physical ability to get us out of this problem. All I did was stepped on the gas as much as I could to take off, and I thought I could just get by the truck, but the boat was gone. There was no way the boat was going to make it, and it's attached to the car, and it was a dangerous situation. So I'm banking. You know how everything slows down when you know you're in trouble? It was one of those moments where everything kind of like went, slowed down, and then all of a sudden we're past. I don't know how. I don't know what took place. Somehow we got translated from where we were at, where we're in a sure accident, to driving down the road, dead silent. Because Heather and I are sitting there going, what just happened? There is a limitless life that God has for you that goes beyond natural limits, but you got to start believing it, that God is in control. Satan is a defeated foe, and our faith is in a God that has never failed and is a God of promises. Amen? So I want to show you this theme verse. This is the theme verse for our life. Now, here's the thing. This is an incredible thing. And if you're here and you're a theologian of something, that was just kind of funny, actually. You're a theologian of something or some God. I want you to understand this. If you try interpreting the Bible with limits in your mind, you will have bad theology. It's incredible how when you see God for who he is, how the word takes on a whole different impression. If you look at it only through natural lenses, you're going to miss exactly, and you'll misinterpret what the Bible is saying. There, you have to read it with the mentality that God is limitless and he's supernatural, and it will radically change how you interpret the Bible. There are a lot of people trying to interpret, and they find all these contradictions, because in the natural there are contradictions, but in the supernatural there are none. Okay? Look at this. This is the theme verse. Now to him who is what? Able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power, that's what? At work in us. It's already there. It's already in us. Read this with me. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. This is a promise for you and I. I was going to have her laminate this verse on a card and give it to you, but I would encourage you this year to measure, to memorize this verse, to write it down, to put it places so in your mind that you can quote this verse again and again and again in your life this year, that there are going to be seasons of time where it doesn't look possible, and you'll say, you know what, now to him who is able, you're able, God, to do immeasurably more than I could ask or even imagine. So I don't know how you're going to do it because I can't imagine it, but you said you would do it beyond my imagination, that you can imagine how I'm walking through this thing. Why? Because that power is working in me right now. It's a promise. God has never failed you in his promise. And when you speak the promise, why? Because faith cometh from hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. Isn't it interesting that we spend more time quoting what God, we think God isn't doing or can't do or what's not being done, and we'll say it out loud. Like we'll say something like, I'll never find a spouse. I'm never going to find a husband. I'll never find a wife. And we'll say that, and literally out loud, audibly we'll say that. Guess what? Your faith will be in the fact that you're never going to find a husband, and your faith is probably going to produce that result. Rather than saying, God, I know you have a person for me. I believe you're going to do immeasurably more than I could ask. Thank God I'm asking for a lot. And you said more than I could ask or even imagine. And I got a good imagination, Lord. Right? That there is a promise God has for your life. But see, this is what our limited mentality does. It says that won't happen for my life because it never happened before. Because it's not taking place before. I'm telling you, the reason it more than likely never happened before is you may think that you were believing it would happen, but you really weren't. Sometimes we amen Satan more than we ever amen God. And we verbalize what Satan is telling us rather than verbalizing what God has said. What you say, your voice, your words are powerful. He is a limitless God who wants us to journey with him. And if we're going to journey with a limitless God, we have to start thinking limitless. You want to understand kind of what I'm talking about? Here's a perfect example. If you're sitting in an elevator, and as you're standing in the elevator, someone gets in the elevator with you, either a man or a woman, and they've obviously been crying, or it's obviously they're distraught, and you're sitting there, and you see it, and you're a limitless individual, and you're sitting there, and you hear something say to you, you need to ask them if everything's okay. And in your mind, you immediately think to yourself, is that the devil? That ain't the devil. Because the devil ain't going to ask you to pray for somebody. Okay? Well, maybe it's me. It ain't you. Because if it were you, you'd have already done it by now. Does this make sense? It's obviously the Lord speaking to you to do it. A limited person will sit there and say, I'm not going to do it. Why? I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know how to respond if they asked the question. A person who lives in a limited mentality only looks at what they think they're capable of rather than understanding that I don't walk according to my limitations. I have limitless power living in me, and that I'm going to obey what God just told me to do because I'm probably going to learn something about it as I live limitless. God says, I keep talking to you, asking you to do things that will cause you to be limitless, unlimited, with no limits, but you keep rejecting my voice. I'm wanting you to step out into adventure. I'm wanting to show you who I am. And in order to do that, I need you to start being limitless because that's who I am. But isn't it true that we want to know how to do something before we do it? Amen. Grow up. That's the best way to say it. You need to spiritually grow up. Some of you need to spiritually grow up and act your age. You've been saved way too long to still be stuck in this mentality that I got to understand everything God's asking me to do before I actually step out and do it, because that's where I'm going to discover who God really is. So grow up. Grow up. You know, when I was a little kid, my parents did something that made me really mad. And we lived in a little town called Markazan, Wisconsin. It's 1,284 people, farming town, tool and die company in the town where a lot of people worked at. It's just a little town. We lived right in the middle of the town in one of the old homes there. It was like 100 years old when I was young. And my mom and dad did something that made me really mad, and I thought they needed to pay for it. So what I did was I got my sleeping bag and a little backpack, and I put some clothes in there, and I was running away from home. Right? How many ran away from home? So I'm running away from home. I was probably a first or second grader. And it was one of those towns where you had like a screen door that went bang, 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 bam, and you never locked it, right? Like we would leave for a week and never lock our doors. And so when we would go out to play, we never told our mom we were going out. We just went out to play. She had no idea where we were half the time. She just yelled, "Kids!" And we come out of the weeds, like, you know, fields of dreams. You know, we just come out of everybody's neighborhoods, you know. Cook it and they will come, you know. That's basically what it was. And we'd bring our friends with us. Well, we were gone, and so she made me mad. So I'm walking, and the whole time I'm walking, I'm thinking they're gonna be like, "Where's James? We should never have done this. We feel so bad." And in my mind, I'm thinking about all the things that they're and then eventually they're gonna come, "James, please return home. We love you, son. We're sorry," right? How many kids, you know, you imagine your parents saying all these things, repenting, hoping you give them grace, right? Well, we get to the city limits. I'd never been past the city limits. It's like a little town, and it's up a hill, and I get up there, and it said Markazan, 1,284 people. And I remember I'm going out beyond the limits of the city. And I remember I've never been here before, and I started walking, and I'm thinking, everything was new. I'd never seen it. There was a sense of adventure, like just stepping past the sign, like I've never done this. It's all new. Because I had lived within the city limits, never been out of the city limits without my parents, and they were always there, so you never paid attention. Some of us, what we've done is we've created the city limits in our life. And we live just within the city limits, and we feel the security and safety of our city limits, where and the boringness of our city limits and the adventures out there. Some of you could care less if you go to church or not. You barely read your word. You don't quite pray often. You don't fast. You wouldn't even think it because you're bored out of your mind. Because you've set limits and you never moved beyond those limits. If I were living in my city limit, I'd be bored too. God wants you to go beyond where you have to depend on him to do the incredible. Where you walk beyond your city limits, where he better show up or you're in big trouble. That'll make the blood flow. Isn't that right? Seeing beyond, going way beyond that. But we draw our lines, and we draw our lines, and we think, this is just what I don't want to wake up this morning and have to depend on God. I just want to depend on my own intellect. I want to depend on my own knowledge. I want to depend on my own ability, my own talents to get me through my own finances. I don't ever want to be in a place where I have to call on God to do something incredible. Now, listen, everybody's limits are at a different place. This message is for everybody. Because this year is about limiting God less. Every one of us in here limit God in our mind. The question is this year going to be a year where you stop limiting him in your life more? Where you limit less. You say, "God, I have limited your ability in my finances, so I'm going to give more this year than ever before because I want you to show up more in my finances. Lord, this year I'm going to step out and start preaching the good news to people around us more because I want you to show up and to have to do something in my life more. I'll look like a freak show, Lord, if you don't show up. Because I'm going to pray for the sick, and if you don't heal them, then I'm going to look like the fool that never prays and never sees anything. But God, I'm going to believe you'll do it." This makes how many love your jobs? You love your jobs? You love your jobs? I have the staff, and then I told them, you better raise your hand. All right? Can I tell you, your job is passing away, and there will be a day where you have wasted your entire life working in your job, if that's where you're putting all your energy, all your talents, and all your abilities so that you can get a paycheck, you will get your paycheck and you'll have nothing to show for it for eternity. This may shock you, but you were created for the Lord. And there are people who need to know about Jesus Christ. Your workplace is a place for you to live limitlessly, for you to go to the harvest and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. See, rather than going to our limit, I think God would say, I got something better for you. I got a bigger limit for you. Rather than this little thing, I think what the Lord wants to do is something greater. And open that door up. Yeah, open that door. I think the Lord, rather than the big gulp, I think God's big gulp is what he wants to release in your life, right? And instead of bumping this to get it full, I think what God wants to do is he wants you to take his and go bump, 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 bump. That's dirty. I think God wants you to get a bigger barrel and say, God, I got bigger things than I could even ask or even imagine, right? Much greater things. Jesus said, greater things than these you shall see. What did Jesus do? He walked on water. But we say you should walk on water. No, that's not possible. They told all those people in that video it was impossible until they made it possible. If those people are breaking world records, think about this. If there are people breaking records every day, breaking things that everybody said was impossible, how much further could we go? How great of a creation are we that God created is so great? Scientists say we only use 10% of our brain. Maximum. The smartest person uses no more than 10% of the brain. What can you physically do that we're not doing because we don't believe we're limitless? We believe we're limitless. We're constantly telling ourselves what we can and we cannot do. Isn't it true? We constantly tell our God, yet, this is a God who split the Red Sea. This is a God who walked Daniel out of the hungry lion's den. He walked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through the fiery furnace. He brought Jonah back from the belly of a fish. He caused the donkey to talk. He brought manna to the Israelites every day. He ushered Joseph to prominence. He stopped the sun in the sky for a half hour. He sent 9 plagues in Egypt, caused the walls of Jericho to come tumbling down. He swept Elijah up in a chariot. This is the God who took out Goliath. This is the God who walked on water. This is the God who fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Talk about a catering company. This is the God who caused Lazarus from the dead, raised from the dead, and then himself out of the grave. God is a limitless God. When will you get this? If I'm going to be like God, I need to start living limitless. I have to start living as no limit. I cannot be like God and live within my city limits. We live within my physical limits. Only going to the limit rather than past the limit. Yes. And God wants to take us past the limit, but we got to stop limiting him in our lives. We love to hear the story about people who had faith to believe that God would do extraordinary things, and we're there to shout amen and praise the Lord. But God's saying, I don't want it to be a story that someone else tells. I want it to be a story you can tell your grandkids and pass that legacy on to the next generation and to the next generation. What legacy are we passing on to our kids? Is it one where this is a limited life, where we live just like the world within limitations? Or have we taught our kids that as children and the children of God and the bride of Christ, I have the ability to walk limitless before this world? That I can believe for the supernatural things and it will happen. There are areas in your life the Holy Spirit is revealing right now that you need to start limiting God less in. Because you've limited him too much. Ephesians, it says 3:20. This is where your big gulp is. This is your life right here. That's what God has for you. I feel, in fact, I pray to him, like, Lord, there are some truths that are so profound and so incredible that it can go over people's heads. I'm telling you right now, God has actually said, God, what doesn't God reveal? Deeper revelation. God has. But much of his bride is only an inch deep. They spend no time hearing the word. If God were to come in the flesh and speak, we wouldn't even know it's God because they spend no time listening for the word of God. And if God were to do, for instance, Reinhard Bonnke, who was a man who learned to live limitless, when God came and asked him to win $100 million, he knew that it was going to take everything he had to do it. He was going to have to move his whole life in on the table and go all in. And most of us are willing to settle for the little big gulp we have and be bored out of our mind and say God wasn't, it was just a part of our life, like church was a part of our life. That will require for God to become everything in your life. It'll require you to lay everything down, every dream down, every hope, everything. It will require you to lay it down. But God never asks, never receives anything from you that he doesn't far exceed in your life. But do you believe it? Or have you limited the blessing of God in your life? Have you limited the love of God in your life? Have you limited the unmerited favor of God in your life? I know there have been many times where we've all done that. Ephesians 3:20, once again, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all you could ask or imagine according to his power that's already in you. It's like God said, I'm going to put it in you, the power in you. Now it's your turn to believe it. It's your turn to respond to my word. It's when I speak to you to do it. Here's the greatest part. How many, you know when God speaks to you. In fact, if God wants you to do something and you don't want to do it, you won't have peace. And then you'll come to me and try to convince me that what you want is the right way to do it. And then you want me to say amen to that so you can somehow, but you're not going to have peace. Even if I agreed with you, you wouldn't have peace because it's not what God wants you to do. You know what God wants you to do. You just don't want to do it. Is that true? Because God's voice will be heard by every one of his, if you will just open your ears, you're going to hear it. I want to take you to the story of the Samaritan woman. I'm going to take it very quickly. There was a Samaritan woman. Well, actually, Jesus and his disciples. I got to go through the story fast because of our nice little ice storm took away some time. But the disciples were going from Judea to Galilee, and the Jews would never travel through Samaria. If they did, it was rare. And this particular time, although it was shorter to go through Samaria, they hated the Samaritans and Samaritans. And so they were going to go, they would always go around. Well, Jesus says to the disciples, we're going through Samaria. I don't know, maybe, you know, you can see later in the story that during when they were going through the trip, they stopped at this well because Jesus was tired and wanted some food. Apparently he had a lot of potlucks. He had been getting out of shape and he was tired, couldn't hack the trip through Samaria, but he stopped at the well. They had to take a break, right? And so the disciples, they head into town to go get food for Jesus. Their assignment, they thought, was to go get food. They were going to miss because they were trying to maximize the moment and get the food for Jesus. They were going to miss the assignment for why they were there. What you're going to find is when you begin to think limitlessly, every part of your life is going to be used of the Lord. He is not going to waste any experience. Even the detours of your life are not detours in his plan. They're actually the strategy or plan that God had for your life. They're a detour to you because you thought you were going there, that that's what you were supposed to do. But to God, you're right where you need to be. You get upset and angry, you get disappointed, you get focused on what you got to do, you miss the opportunity to live limitlessly. Yep. Amen? All those people that when you get so single-focused, you can't see? Well, the disciples go get food. Well, Jesus is sitting at the well. This woman comes out. She's obviously by herself, which is obvious because usually when a woman comes, they come in a crowd. to get water, right? And this woman comes by herself like something's going on. Well, to find out this woman had many husbands, and she's living with a man. She's probably ridiculed. She's hurt and wounded. She's probably trying to avoid everyone else. By the way, probably being gossiped about, and they mock her, and they talk about her behind her back. So she's coming out by herself. She tried to stay away from all the other ladies that were there, and she comes out and hears this man, and Jesus comes up and says, "Can you give me something to drink?" And this woman had to be sitting there. First of all, you're a man and I'm a woman. We don't know each other. Why you ask me for a drink? Number two, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Why are we even communicating? Because there was a hatred between the two. And Jesus said, "Well, can you give me a drink?" And she's like, "Well," and you know, she goes into this whole dialogue. And Jesus said, "If you knew who I was, you would have asked me for a drink, because I would have given you living water and it would have changed your life." Right? In that moment, in this discourse, this woman, something is literally lit up inside of her, and she knows this is a different type of person. Like, this is a moment of God doing something. Can I tell you something, by the way, just a side note? Gossiping is the worst trait in a church. Here's the deal. Gossip, people who gossip are living in religion, not in relationship. Because they're talking about people for what they're doing rather than, this has nothing to do with that. That's a religious mentality. Can you believe so-and-so did that? Let's just pray for them right now. I don't know. You spent more time talking about how bad it was than praying for them for breakthrough, right? Okay, so back to the story. So then this is what happens in John chapter 4. This comes up. Just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" Or, why are you talking to her? Why? In fact, quite frankly, I am sure Peter was not with him at this point in time. Because if Peter had been there, he would have said, "Jesus, what are you talking to that woman for?" Right? Like Peter. And the other disciples were probably, "Boy, I sure wish Peter was here right now. We would get him to ask the question," right? You know, it's that person. You all know what I'm talking about. There's that one person you can get to ask the question. So you can, "I didn't ask it." Right? So they come up there and they're like, "Jesus, what are you doing? This is a woman. What are you talking to her about? Like, what's going on?" And they wanted to know why he was talking to her. Next verse. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever could or ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the one?" She left her bucket behind, and she's like, "That bucket isn't enough for what's going on in my life. I have a well of water. There is something. I'm leaving by my limitations. I'm not living in this. This limited me. I was so many things I was stuck in. I'm going to start drinking from the well that never runs dry. I'm going to start living life with the mentality that God can do anything, that if God puts a dream in my life, it's going to happen." Why in the world would God tell you to go on a missions trip and not give you the ability to do it? "Well, I don't have enough money to go." God told you to do it. "Well, I don't have enough money to go." Limited. I told someone this the other day. They were like, "I can't go because I can't get vacation." I said, "Go tell your boss that you need to go on a missions trip. They'll give you the vacation." You know how many times bosses have said, "Yeah, go. Missions trip, you're going to go do that? Oh, yeah, no doubt. Go do that." We want to live limited. Isn't that true? We have learned to live in our insecurity. It's become a friend to us. That I don't think I can go beyond there. I can't do anything beyond this. So I'm just going to do what I know I can do. And there's a peace, there's a sense of peace of not having to worry about anything because I don't ever want to step out. I don't ever want to take a risk. I don't know who told it, "Don't ever take a risk." That's the devil. You kidding me? God wants you to take risks. God wants you to step out. We allow our failures to have more of a say in our lives than the word of God. Isn't that true? So they came out of the town. Look at this. Next verse. They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciple urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Now, I'm sure Peter, if you know all their personalities, Peter's like, "Who gave him food without my permission? Like, I'm the one that decides when it. John was probably thinking, yeah, I bet you wasn't as good as mine. I'm sure Jesus was thinking about my dumplings because he loves my food the best, right? And Thomas is probably sitting there thinking, I bet he didn't get anything to eat. I think he's just saying it. And Judas is like, if they better turn in any receipts if they want to be reimbursed. I want to see some receipt, right? They're so caught up in the fact of where did Jesus get his food rather than recognizing the miracle in the moment that we're here. They were so limited by this activity that they were like, we stopped to get food. Rather than opening their eyes to see, we're here to get food, but there's something else going on here that we did not see. Look at the next verse. Then his disciples says to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is not to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's my food. Next verse. We miss moments all day long because we cannot see beyond the limits we've set up for ourselves. Next verse. Don't you have a saying, it's still, this is the first point. Don't you have a saying, it's still for 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes. Look, the fields are white unto harvest. Here's the first thing, the living a limitless life. One, see beyond the limits. See beyond the limits. In every area of your life, you have to see beyond your limits. There is a harvest of people in your neighborhood that you haven't seen because you're so focused on just your own life. You haven't seen them. We limit God in our faith. We limit him in every area of our life, in our marriage. Well, he'll never change. My husband's never going to change. My wife will never change. You just limited God in doing anything. And you even said it out loud. So your faith is reinforced with the lie that the enemy just spoke. I don't think we fully understand the power of the audible word. We limit in our prayers. We pray, God's sitting there going, man, I don't even need to get off the throne to do that type of stuff. Man, that's so easy. Why don't you start asking me to do things that are incredible that would make the, so I can show off in your life? How many would want God to show off in your life? Then you got to put him in a position to do it. I believe that we can give $1 million to missions. I believe that we can see 500 salvations this year at Bethel's Rock. I believe there are 50 people in this body going into vocational ministry in 10 years. I believe we will see a person from every nation in the globe that attend this church body. Here's the second one, serve beyond limits. We serve beyond limits. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests the crop for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, one sows, another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap you have not for what you had not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefit of their labor. God is calling us to serve. That means recognizing that our job may pay the bills, but God has a whole, like, I have a purpose and a calling beyond what pays the bills. That there are people that are going to come to Christ because of my life. You know, the job of the pastor is to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. But what a limited-minded person will say is, the pastor does that. Do you realize that when the disciples went out to go do the miracles, that was a new thing? It was the men of God who did it. The prophets and the priests, they were the ones to do it. The people just bowed to them. Jesus was actually sending the disciples out to participate in the ministry he had for them. God will never make you do anything, but he has commanded us to participate in what he's doing. Here's the third thing. Stay beyond the limits. Get out of the rut. Get out of the rut we're in and step beyond the limits of where you're at. Start believing God can do something incredible. This year is going to be a year of reminding you to get out of the rut. To live a life that's without limits. To start limiting God less in your marriage and in your finances and in your health. Stop limiting God less in your workplace and everything you're doing. That this is an opportunity for God to literally do something supernatural in my life. Look at the verse again, the theme verse again. What is it? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably, say it with me, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that's at work in us. Now look at this, next verse. 1 Corinthians 2:9, this is another one you can write down. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. What's in your barrel? How many want to know what God can do in your life? How many are saying, I want to limit God a little less this year, a lot less this year, right? Will you stand right now?